You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
For those of you asking on the text line, have you guys already talked about Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes falling victim to ne'er-do-wells? The answer is yes, and the podcast is already online at KMBZ.com. We discussed it in the 2 o'clock hour of the program today.
Miss a little, miss a lot.
And how often do ne'er-do-wells do well?
Ne'er. Story here from CBS News. Kraft Heinz is pulling Lunchables, prepackaged boxes of deli meat, cheese, and crackers from the school lunch program that provides free and discounted meals to about 30 million low-income school children.
Do you know how bad those are for you? I'm just saying.
Consumer Reports applauded the move months after the advocacy group sounded alarms about the product that is popular with kids, saying it tests found troubling levels of lead and sodium. Quoting here from Consumer Reports director Brian Ronholm, Lunchables and other lunch kits with concerning levels of sodium and harmful chemicals have no place on the school lunch menu. We prefer they eat cardboard.
I'll take 2 scoops of sodium and preservatives, please.
But we knew that, right? I've always heard when the kids were younger that the worst thing you could buy them, among the worst things when it comes to MSG and prepackaging, were those types of products because it is salt in a sealed container.
Why can't, and I'm not a, you know, way back when kind of guy, except when it comes to the school lunch. Why can't we go back to Sloppy Joe, Sloppy Joe, and pizza that actually tasted like pizza?
Square pizza.
Chicken nuggets.
Ooh, the dinosaur-shaped ones?
No, that's for home.
Oh.
You're some not, cream
corn. You're not going to get dinosaur-shaped chicken nuggets at high school.
Oh, dino nuggets are at high schools.
Also not healthy.
We did fine.
The answer is cost.
We live in the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
A bologna sandwich, some cream corn.
You know, I haven't had
green beans.
My mom used to make bologna and cheese sandwiches for me when I was a kid in middle school.
Also not healthy.
I have never.
You talk about sodium.
I have never eaten bologna since the 8th grade.
Me either.
Oh, it's so good.
It is so terrible.
It's like the rounder spam.
Oh, let's not talk about it.
It's delicious. Wait, it's you guys eat hot dogs?
Those are good.
Like once
you know
a year.
What a hot dog is versus bologna?
Yeah, but it's everything that's on the floor.
It's the
better
same
than
thing.
Bologna does.
You don't think bologna is scraped off the floor at every?
That's what I'm saying. It's the same thing.
Plant in America.
Yeah.
You get a slab or you get a tube. What do you want? Same contents.
I'll take the tube.
Okay.
That's how I roll. Netflix cheaper ad-supported tier has reached 70 million global monthly active users 2 years after it was launched. Remember, we talked about this. Everybody's like, oh, daddy, you're never going to. Why would you pay for it and then you have to watch the commercials? Well, 70 million people globally have done it. The company said yesterday more than 50% of its new signups are for ad-supported plans in countries that offer the option.
Really?
Yep. 50% of its new signups.
I'm still boycotting.
Really?
I am. I have not watched Netflix in a year and a half when they finally figured out my get around to their you're not at home restriction.
Oh, I mean, I don't want you to tell, but you are basically scamming the system.
For about 6 months, I was actively scamming the system and doing it well. And then they
figured out. Who were we bunking off of?
My mom, of course, just like everybody else. And they figured out how to put the squash on that. And now I no longer have Netflix and will never have Netflix again.
So you were breaking the rules, got caught, and now you're mad at the company that caught you breaking
the
rules.
Well, no. I'm mad because for about 10 years, it was 2014, so 8 years, they said sharing is caring. I believe the CEO's motto for the company was something to the tune of sharing is caring with regards to your password. And then they decided, we don't want you to share anymore.
Sharing
money
is caring.
But good on them. It did work. They were hoping to up their subscribers in 2022 when they implemented the new ad-based pay system. They only had 220 million subscribers. They're now up to, I believe, 286. So you got 60 million more subscribers. Good for you, jerks.
Don't say that. It's World Kindness Day.
Sorry.
You are a bitter old man trapped in a young, happy-looking man's body.
I've heard there were a couple of new great shows on Netflix that I would love to check out.
They also have 2 NFL games that are going to be played on Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do this next story out of Colorado Springs. A man is sharing his story after receiving a several-year ban from Yellowstone National Park late last month after he and his family went off the trail while visiting over the summer.
Okay.
He is 62-year-old Joseph Aida. He was sentenced to 7 days in jail, 5 years of probation, and a ban from Yellowstone Park.
Is this the guy that grabbed the artifacts?
Nope. As well as a fine of $3,000. Listen, this is crazy. He told the local TV station that while he acknowledges a mistake was made when he and his family went off of a path and onto protected land near Canary Spring in July, he said there was no clear signage saying to stay off the land in the area where they parked. He says, we took a left-hand turn into a crowded parking lot, and the only spot was right at the end of the parking lot. We had to make a three-point turn into the spot. So by doing so, we avoided all of the signs and the boardwalks, and we were facing an area that was pretty. It looked fun, but it also had no signs. The kids were excited. The two young children they were traveling with ran straight into the area from the car instead of using the path. And he added that he and another adult only traveled onto the land to keep the kids safe. Yes, we stayed up there a little too long. That was our mistake, he says, and we acknowledge that. It was about 20 minutes there. We thought we were okay because, again, there were no signs. 7 days in jail?
Why do you need a sign to know that you're not supposed to do something? When we were in England last year, we went over to Stonehenge, and there were no signs that said, don't touch the rocks.
Well, I would assume it's Stonehenge. You don't touch Stonehenge.
Why would they not be allowed to go to that portion of the Yellowstone National Park that they pay taxes to preserve?
Probably an area that's protected. I don't know.
For the same reason, you can't just walk right up into the White House, even though you pay taxes to keep it open. You have to get a tour. You get in line.
Speaking of Yellowstone, I did see that season, whatever, after a 12-year hiatus is back.
It started back up on Sunday. Be careful, because I haven't seen it, but I know what happens.
Is anyone watching? I'm not going to go back and watch it, because so much time has passed.
Yeah, I don't remember what happened in the first half of season 5.
I don't remember what happened through season 2 through 5. You can't take something out of popular culture for that long and then expect people to pick it right back up.
It says here from...
You can't shoot JR and then be like, we're going to wait 9 years to tell you who shot JR. No one cares by then.
Season 5, round 2, the one that aired on Sunday night, 13 million viewers.
What does that mean?
That's pretty good.
That's really good.
All right. I hard passed
from
it. Outkick.com's
headline is Yellowstone Return draws staggering ratings.
It's going to be back. I'm predicting it right now with a season 6 with Kevin Costner.
I'm not even mildly joking. How long was the previously on Yellowstone must have been 96,000 minutes. I don't remember any of it.
Let me tell you
something. I barely remember Costner was in it.
Here's what I'll tell you how long ago it was. There was a different woman living in my house.
Well, that didn't say a lot.
Whoa!
I mean, you just teed that one right up.
Wow!
Just tee it up and hand me my driver.
She went yard.
Wow.
The hole in one?
Wow.
Woo!
My ass is chapped.
I thought it was National Kindness Day.
It's World Kindness Day. May I offer an amends?
She was kind by putting him down quickly.
I should have dropped that mic tomorrow when it was not World Kindness Day, but I also feel like you shouldn't have teed it up so aggressively.
Didn't let him linger.
It wasn't an aggressive tee up. It was a rather passive one.
Teed it up, and then you invited me in with a bullhorn. You said, come crashing through this door, and I just can't stop myself.
He's already got bad knees. You just sent a pile driver through him.
Wow.
Body blow.
She literally Tonya Harding my Nancy Kerrigan.
Why?
Unbelievable.
But anyway, I'm predicting a season 6 with Kevin Costner.
In terminology, I can understand. How long has it been since Yellowstone was on the air? COVID?
Let's just say well over a year and a half.
Okay.
What is it streaming on?
It streams on Paramount+.
I just feel like in my life, Scott, and in your life.
And Paramount.
Right.
There are certain benchmarks we should not be using. And for both of us, that's probably one of them. Good talk.
913-586-7798. 913-586-7798 on Dana and Parks. From the text line, that jab that Dana dropped on Scott was the Lorena Bobbitt of insults.
It's been a couple of minutes. How are we feeling? Are we a little sore?
We worked it out during the break.
I need to go get some ice for that burn.
Need a whoopee cushion in here. I got my butt kicked.
Worked it out during the break.
Maybe an AED to bring you back to life.
Somebody says... The last time Yellowstone was on, it was so long ago. Scott had only been married once. And the hits just keep on coming.
Oh, I love you so much. You know I love you. I would have laughed out loud had you said the same thing to me. You know that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I would hope so.
Listen to this next story. Not funny, but part of it is funny. Involving a scam locally, involving Chiefs tickets, and wait for it, a serial killer.
You got all of that into one story?
All of that.
That's impressive.
Rolled into one story.
That's impressive.
From our friends at Fox 4. This is a problem pointer out or not a solver, because I don't think they're going to solve this one. Ticketmaster is looking into an issue after, sadly, a family locally scout was scammed out of Chiefs tickets. This is awful. This part. Football fans take a run at a refund after tickets they bought did not allow them inside the Chiefs game Sunday.
Ooh.
Yep.
Counterfeit tickets.
This after a scammer possibly added to the problem, attempting to transfer the tickets while posing as a serial killer. Just wait, I will explain.
Sorry?
I know it. I know it.
I want to pose as a lot of things, but that's not one of them.
This is the funny, not funny part. A Leavenworth mom is hoping for a refund after paying $2,800 for four Chiefs tickets.
Where were they?
When her family
on the 50-yard line.
Got to the gate. Boop, boop. You know, they scan your tickets. A worker said, no. People are already sitting in those seats.
That's 700 per.
She says, you can see here, these are my four tickets. From a blocked field goal to being blocked from their seats, the Bryce family said their experience started the same way the Chiefs versus Broncos game ended. It is a gut-wrenching feeling to know that you've tried so hard to make for a good experience. Here's the deal. Their 14-year-old son is a Broncos fan. This was to be his first Chiefs and NFL game. In August, Bryce says, she bought four tickets to the game through Ticketmaster. About 3 weeks later, the tickets somehow were transferred without her consent to someone named, quote, Jeffrey Dahmer.
All right.
That was a shock, says Bryce. After several phone calls to Ticketmaster, Bryce said she got an email saying your tickets have now been restored. She noticed the tickets were verified but did not have barcodes on them.
Hmm.
She kept calling. One worker told her it would be okay. Another said, get help at the stadium, which you know is never going to work out. I mean, the person scanning your ticket does not have the authority to let you in.
Nor the care. They couldn't care less.
So turns out there was someone already sitting in those four seats, and they... our season ticket holders.
Was one of them Jeffrey Dahmer?
Actually,
and Jane.
No.
Jane Dahmer, too.
Because if your name was Jeffrey Dahmer, let's be honest, you would change it.
Yes.
And number two, he's dead.
Yes. He died in the 90s.
So apparently the Chiefs were able, I don't know how they did this, they were able to find different seats, but the family was split up, they were late, you know, all of that stuff. So I think they did get to see part of the game.
Well, the fact that they even let them in is huge, and good on the Chiefs for that one.
Well, they probably had the emails from Ticketmaster saying, sorry for the inconvenience, your tickets have been restored. You know, I'm sure they had to bring one of the ticketing supervisors up to the front, which was just probably a nightmare.
During the mass rush for everyone trying to get into the stadium, can you imagine going, can we speak to a supervisor, please? No, there's like 70,000 people trying to get in right now.
Yeah. Well, good on the Chiefs that they at least let them in, right? But how does this even happen?
I don't know.
How you bought the tickets from Ticketmaster, and then they go out and accidentally resell them to someone else?
No,
specifically
they
someone named Jeffrey Dahmer.
Sold them to Jeffrey Dahmer.
By the way,
red flag.
There are 36 people in the United States who carry the name actively, Jeffrey Dahmer.
Well, there's our discussion for the rest of this hour because
what name would you change if you had it?
No, Scott. Some of those people probably had that name first.
Oh, sure.
If you were in your 60s or 70s and you're old Jeff Dahmer.
I don't think anybody names their baby Jeffrey Dahmer.
No, I'm thinking that's probably.
If your last name is Gacy, the name you don't give your son is John.
Or Wayne. Mm-hmm. That kind of rolls.
There's 245 Scott Parks.
One of them is a reporter for the Dallas Morning News.
Back to Jeffrey Dahmer. If you had the name first, would you just be like, look, that's always been my name. I had it first. No. I mean, I had it before the serial killer had it.
Because every time you introduce yourself, anytime you meet a stranger, it's automatically a negative connotation.
Wouldn't you just go with Jay? Just go with Jay. Just call yourself Jay.
If I had a middle name, I would probably go by that. Like if I'm Jeffrey Michael, I'm now Michael Dahmer.
Okay. However, you have been Scott Parks for 50 whatever years.
Yeah.
That is your name. Let's say that this year, God forbid, a man named Scott Parks, or even worse, honestly, Samuel Stevie, starts murdering all up in here.
Well, then for the first time in 26 years, there's going to be another Mayo Parks walking the planet.
Would you really?
Yes.
No, you would not. You've been Scott Parks your entire life, and Scott Parks is more common than Jeffrey Dahmer or Sam Stevie.
Okay, maybe I don't trust this website because it says there's 525 Samuel Stevies, and I know for a fact there's only two.
You're not that original.
Still, the name Stevie is spelled wrong.
I mean, I feel like there's just a handful of names that, even if you've had that name for a long time, when that thing happens, you don't.
Ted Bundy.
You'd go by Theodore, and there would be some people that would not understand that reference. Anyone who's 30 years old or younger. Well, no, because of the documentaries, the movies that all won awards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Kyle Menendez.
No.
You wouldn't change your name?
No.
Scott Peterson.
Too common.
First thing I think of is a guy who killed his wife.
I know, but it's too common. Like, you could still be, there's a lot of Scott Petersons. In a way that Jeffrey Dahmer, you're not going to think of other.
I went to high school with a Michael Jackson.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
He went by Mike. My name is Mike. Mike Jackson.
It's like an Office Space, Michael Bolton. I love that guy. Not a fan of his music.
Casey Anthony?
No. No way.
Oh, there's a new documentary out on her.
Will not watch. I can't
stand
her.
Here's a really common name for you. Susan Smith.
Mm. What if your name was Susan Smith?
Gosh, I don't know.
If your name is Susan K. Smith, I bet you become K. Smith.
Or you go by Sue, certainly when all that was happening.
913-586-7798, 586-7798, here on Dana and Parks. Interesting story here. The number of damaged packages arriving on American doorsteps has soared by a third in the last year. This is equal to 85 million damaged packages in the last 12 months, which would fill the equivalent of more than 45,000 Olympic swimming pools. Research among 2,000 consumers found they typically received 4 parcels with cosmetic or fundamental damage in 2024, compared to 3 the year prior. Nearly a third make an online purchase that is delivered to their home or workplace on a weekly basis.
Wow.
I cannot remember. It had to have been last year, right before Christmas, that I received anything on my front step. They order an average of 1 package a week?
Fragile. It must be Italian.
While more people are ordering online at least once a month, it's an increase of 13%, but 53% reported receiving damaged goods from online purchases in the past 12 months.
Do you know what else happens every week?
What's that, Dana?
The Independence Avenue Bridge takes another one.
Got one today.
Talk about damaged packages.
Is it still shut down? Do we know?
Well, this happened right before the show started.
Okay, as of 2 hours ago, Independence Avenue was shut down. I would assume it's open by now.
It has been reopened, yes.
Okay.
KCTV 5 was out there, and they had footage of the massive, because these aren't just regular tow trucks that come out to pull these things out, the massive semi-truck-sized tow truck pulling the now convertible out from under the bridge.
It's not only a convertible, it is it is tilted at an unnatural angle.
Which is to say, only the wheels on one side are making contact with the pavement.
The storage container put up a good fight. It always loses.
I'm telling you, man.
Every time.
There is no answer that we can come up with that will ever fix this problem.
I tell you what, though. They need to go back and pull up the specs that they used when they built that bridge and use those specs to build every bridge for the rest of time.
Because of how well it holds together?
Because that thing will not come down.
Well, and Dana and I, this was months and months ago, we were on KCPT together one Thursday afternoon or Friday afternoon, I can't recall. And we went down to the Independence Avenue Bridge because they had just installed those drapes.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody had already knocked one of those over and hit the bridge like a moron.
The curtains did not work.
The plastic tubing? Is that what we're referencing?
Not
yeah.
work.
But I think they called it a curtain or a drape
did,
or something.
Yeah.
Swinging a miss.
But, I mean, why didn't those work? Other than the obvious that people just drove right through them and tried to take the bridge down.
I don't think it's very attentive drivers that are striking this thing in the first place. I feel like if they were paying attention to the fact that they would just hit a bunch of wind chimes on the roadway, they would also be paying attention to the fact that that sign says 12 feet and the truck you're driving is 13.6.
Is there no way, and this just crossed my mind, I'll mention that in a minute. Somebody just asked, why can't we dig the road underneath the bridge deeper?
It will flood immediately.
It would be an immediate flood problem.
It already floods.
Yeah, you're right. But I mean, can
look
you imagine?
Video. Oh my gosh, look at the
you
video.
Would, it's a big one.
It's a big one.
And notice a train over above it just going, well, sucks to be you.
Got another one.
They don't even shut the railroad tracks above it down because they know that bridge is so strong.
Yeah, I don't know. One of the last big hits that thing took, there was some concern about structural damage. Concrete chipping away there.
That was the trash truck that hit it.
The trash truck from Lawrence.
Yeah.
That's right.
Go back to Lawrence.
Right.
And that one did better than most.
All I remember is they put that pipe curtain. They put the pipe curtain up within like 2 hours. Yeah. It's just laying on the side of the road.
Like storm debris.
Pipe curtains like this, please.
So I think digging. We might take a call or two on this, Sam, if you don't mind. 913-586-7798.
Wait. We've talked to engineers who have called in, who understand engineering things.
Yeah.
The worst thing they could do would be to dig out from underneath it, because when it does flood, it would be like your car swept away. It would be life or limb scenario.
So here's the only thing I can think of that might work, and I'm kind of sort of incorporating the curtains
reading
into this idea. Yes. If when you hit the curtains or something like the curtains, automatically a gigantic stop sign comes down from the bridge and you have to stop, and it's well lit. It blinks at you. You can't miss it. That's the only thing I can think of that would keep people from going under that bridge. The problem is, what if that sign comes down on somebody else's car who's in front of the truck that hits the curtain?
Yeah, that's now
so
a projectile.
Now I've just completely ruined my own theory.
Somebody just had a great, they couldn't hang on the line, they were doing something, but they just had a great idea. Put a gigantic sign on both sides of the bridge. You get stuck, automatic $10,000 fine.
Sam, they don't even read the signs as it currently stands.
Well, you get one or two fines as a carrier going under that bridge, and you're going to have every carrier that traverses that roadway saying to their driver, if I catch you on this road, you're not going to be a driver tomorrow.
But for example, how many of these trucks that hit the Independence Avenue Bridge, Texter, that's what bridge we're talking about. How many of these trucks are not from Kansas City? For example, the guy who's driving the dump truck from Lawrence, unless he watches a lot of TV news on the right night or listens to this program on the right day, because most music stations aren't talking about today's yummy meal for the Independence Avenue Bridge, if you're from out of town, you don't know about the Independence Avenue Bridge. You have no idea. So a $10,000 fine, I see where you're going, but if the signs alone that say low bridge, 12 feet, do not pass, aren't enough to get you to stop your $100,000 rig, I don't know what is. You're too dumb.
Well, I don't think it's dumb. I don't think any driver of any truck wakes up in the morning and thinks, God, I want to be on Channel 5 looking like, well, with its truck at a very unnatural angle and an entire road shut down for hours. No one wakes up and thinks that's what I want to do today. So I don't think it's dumb. I think it's just inattention. I don't understand, again, why GPS cannot, you know, like the other day I was supposed to exit. My car wanted me to exit and I didn't understand why. And I told you this, I screwed myself. The Tesla was trying to get me to exit off the road. And I'm like, I gotta exit. Why would I exit? I'm going this way. Well, because right up straight ahead was like a 22-minute traffic delay. So if my car can tell me that it's smart enough to say, go around, or you're going to be 22 minutes late, which I was, why can there not be something in as high tech as some of these semis are, something that says high impact zone ahead?
Or low bridge ahead.
Low bridge / high impact.
Yeah.
We've got the most high-tech sensor of all inside that cab, eyeballs.
Well, for the same reason your car's GPS, and I'm not going to give the route, makes you take the long way to work distance-wise.
Yeah, I didn't know it was a long way.
When I picked you up last week or the week prior, whenever it was, I took you a different route, and you said, why are we doing this?
Sam, I argued with him. I go, what are you doing? He goes, this is the way to work. And I go, no, it's not.
It's the quickest way to work.
I go, no,
we
it's
went
not.
North and east. Her GPS would have her go south, east, and then north to the radio station.
I can put the directions together in my head, and Scott is right. His way is faster.
You know what I said the other day?
And it's shorter distance.
I'm going to be one of those old people for whom there is always a silver alert. You know, when I get old, like, you guys are just going to witness this in real time. There's just going to be constant silver alerts for me.
It's going to happen.
I don't even understand what you just said, and that's just how I get to work.
Jason in North Kansas City. Hello, Jason.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
We're doing well. Thank you.
All right. I've been saying this forever. Maybe I'm not right, but I feel like I am. Everybody's trying all this fancy stuff, these curtains and everything. I say the reason people reckon into this is the height is just not enough. It's too big to recognize by the human eye that it's too small. It just looks normal.
Wait, Jason, say that again. It's too big for the human eye to recognize it's too small.
So if you're driving your truck down there and you see it and you don't notice the 11-foot clearance, your eyes aren't going to recognize that your truck's probably going to be too small.
Huh.
Does that make sense?
Like, almost like an optical illusion? It's just
not an optical illusion. It's just not enough to trigger a response.
Got it.
That's why people keep running into it. Go in there. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, what about the gigantic sign that says 12, zero?
Right, and that's not working. So my proposal would be to go in there and don't physically alter, like, don't actually structurally alter the bridge, or, artificially adjust it so that it's 9 feet and not 11 with a 9 feet on there. And I guarantee you, if the truck driver's going through there and he sees something that's a 9-foot hole, that will trigger a response.
Like slam on the brake response.
Yeah, because, I mean, even I drive a car and sometimes I'll come to a bridge and I'll see it and I'm like, oh my God, that's really low. But as soon as you're coming up to it, you look at it and you're like, that's not going to happen at all, ever.
Jason, appreciate the call, man. Thank you for it.
All right, thanks.
All right, be well.
That is one of the only calls that has ever made sense to me when we talk about this, and here's why. And Jason obviously knows what he is talking about. Clearly, there is something visually going on with this bridge. Call it an optical illusion, call it whatever you will, because there have to be other 12-foot, zero-inch bridges in the world, maybe even in Kansas City.
There's one in North Carolina.
You don't see this again and again and again and again and again with the other bridges. So what is it? Is it the dip down?
Well, so it's a couple of things. One, that's technically a highway. It's Highway 24, I
believe.
Okay. So it has more truck traffic for the truckers that are trying to avoid the interstate. And also, it is the downward slope toward the bridge. It does make sort of an optical illusion where you think, oh, that looks big enough. And then the second you hit the bottom of that valley and you start going back up, the truck's too long, you're stuck. Because if you notice, these trucks get stuck pretty far under that bridge. They're not hitting the front of it. They're hitting the middle of it.
Oh. So he's right. By the naked eye,
it looks like you're going to make
it. The very front end of the bridge looks like you're going to make it, and you do. It's not until you're...
For a second or so.
Once you hit the bottom of that valley and you start going back uphill, the truck's too long.
That's where you hit it.
And you're stuck.
Telephone number is 913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Get back to the calls here in just a moment. Hey, we have launched just the other day Coats for Kids 2024, and our goal this year is to raise $60,000. I know, it sounds like a lot. It is, but so is the need in Kansas City. We use that money through your generosity to buy new coats for children in Kansas City who otherwise, and for reasons not their own, don't have a coat this winter. We serve the Kansas City, Kansas, Kansas City, Missouri, Independence, Hickman Mills, and Center School Districts. If you can donate, and if you're willing to, please go to KMBZ.com. The donation site is safe and it is secure. We've used it for years. KMBZ.com or text KMBZ Coats to 44321. Thanks to Operation Warm. We've been working with them for years. And also our sponsor for Coats for Kids, Pinnacle Bank. Thank you, guys. Curtis in Olathe, you're next. Hello, Curtis.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing well. Thanks.
Basically, I appreciate what the other fella was talking about. To me, that's kind of like a depth perception that fools a lot of people. And you folks that drive the small cars and don't drive rigs, I drove off and on for 17 years commercially for several of the corporations in this country along with the federal government. And I will tell you, when I first started, DOT was just starting to getting out. Federal Motor Carriers Act that goes through commercial vehicles and the drivers, no matter who they are, where they are in the United States, you got to comply with those rules. A lot of them nowadays have gone the cheap side. They don't put the indicator on the dash in yellow and black bold type that would actually benefit some of, different language, number one. And then some of those overpasses, you can drive by any of them and everybody blows them off. But during a inspection for your Class A or Class B license, you usually have the trooper say, what did you just drive underneath? And they want you to notice that stuff. I mean, this is no game. This is your life, somebody's life. I personally watched one day here about less than a year ago over here in Olathe at Spruce, just a simple box truck, did not pay attention, going east underneath the overpass. Well, he didn't go east underneath the overpass. He was approaching it. They put steel beams on both sides that are loose. That sucker dropped down on top of his back of his trailer part, and the other part of that beam was in the street, like a Lincoln part. Now, I couldn't tell you, but if there was another car coming from the east going right west underneath there, there'd have been a homicide. And I will tell you, in a lot of cases, and you guys have covered the news story with the trucker out there on 70 that was in trouble. Well, he didn't make it from what I understand, that ran into the back of them cars and they all burned.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay, well, that's the same thing for that. If that fell down, that's that guy behind the wheels liability. And they really do nowadays with all those other incidences across the country in the last 10 years. Enforce that rule. But like I said, I think the biggest problem they've got is a lot of these commercial vehicles, when they get inspected, those are no longer required to have those stickers.
Yeah. All right. And Curtis, we're up against break. Thank you for driving safely and for your thoughts on this. The average bridge height, by the way, considered safe for most trucks to not hit.
Let me guess. 14.7.
It's 14 feet based on federal guidelines, with most states setting a maximum truck height of 13 feet, 6 inches.
Quick break for the news. Dan Weinbaum has that coming your way in 2 minutes here on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.